you are a blessing. And I would be amiss to leave out next to my salvation. To thank God for the wife that he's given me and be able to minister together. We know a lot of preachers, a lot of people across the country and different things, and everyone comes to me and says, boy, did you marry up. Yeah. You wouldn't have made it without her. And all I have to say is amen and amen. Amen. And I can't talk too much about her, because I don't know if how many words would get out. I just thank God for her faithfulness, her love for God. You know, as a pastor, a preacher, your family can kill your ministry. And a wife that is pulling here and there and is self-centered and can hit, is moody, can really hurt a ministry. I know there's one preacher right now that's dealing with a staff member, his church, where the wife is really pulling and struggling and doesn't understand ministry, and he's probably going to end up leaving the ministry. And I have the complete opposite of that. I always, when I married, I always wanted someone that at least being a little bit outgoing. And I didn't want someone that I could run all over. And boy, did God give me that and then some, man alive. I should have backed off on that one. Oh, I don't know, and also, the spirit, her countenance. I've always said, pretty much, and everyone that I've known as far as preachers and different ones, they've said, if you don't like Brenda, there's something wrong with you. That's a wonderful trait, and I get to live with that. But see, I get to live with something, and she gets to live with something that none of you get to. We both make huge mistakes. Well, you've seen me and my mistakes. But hers are hidden. And you know those hidden sins? No. And from both of us, I always joked my daughters. I said, boy, when you get married, you lose your name, love, and the boys get to add their wives' name, loves. And I tell you what, I couldn't be loved more by my wife, and I couldn't tell you that she loves you anymore. I'd have her say something, but she couldn't do it. And maybe in our little testimony time, she can say something afterwards, but. She loves you folks. Ladies, I think the proof's in the pudding. And I thank all of you that have taught us so much. Boy, I look back, the mistakes that you make, you wish you would have said this, or you wish you would have done it, you did this. I'm so grateful for God's grace. And we are so grateful that God called us into the ministry. I'm so thankful that he called me here to Colchester Bible Baptist Church. And being welcomed by the barking orders of Fran. We've grown so much to love her, and Betty, who was on that pulpit committee and make sure that women were saying the right thing, I tell you, and it just is, and Janice, who is in glory, enjoying things. Boy, we have no idea on that one. Janice has got the best of that. And then the opportunity that we had to follow and have Brother Edwards, of course McMahon here, but Brother Edwards been here for so many years. The 26, was it? 26 years, I think he was the pastor here, wasn't he? I think something like that, 28 years maybe. But then his lovely wife, she was here with, talk about another testimony and a sweet spirit. I mean, again, if you don't like Marlene, there's something double wrong with you. What a sweet spirit and firm. She's having a great time in glory. And so I wish we had time to go through everybody here, and then the ones that have been here for 15 years, and then the 10 years they've been, and those have been within the last 5 years and a few years. It just, you have added so much to this ministry. You really have. Because you haven't been here for many, many years, you've added so much. I don't believe this ministry would be here today. What is, you need to be here and see this ministry go forward and be part of it. That's what God wants us to be doing, to be part of serving. And he wants you to so love God and so be tender that other people are more important than you are. And that you will take that truth of God's precious word and you'll practice it. And you will not take from that. And so I've entitled my message this morning, My Heart's Desire for Me. Great humanistic title, you know. My Heart's Desire for Me Concerning You. And so I want to take you through scripture here. That's from the scripture reading that was this morning. And so if you'll take your Bibles and turn to 2 John. And we're going to look this morning at John's heart's desire for the church founded in the truth. And then you'll see John's heart's desire for himself concerning the church. And so I guess I can't do this. I'm not even close to John, but I can tell you that my heart is sort of there where John's was as he wrote this epistle. I can't write like this. You know, one of the reasons I can't, this is inspired through God's word. God told him what to write. And it's the revelation that God's revealed to us. But I see his heart, and I can, my emotions can sense his heart. And so I want to give you the same heart that he had for Gaius and the people of the church. Because here is the foundation, but he lays us foundation first. We must realize that the Christian is to walk in truth, walk in obedience in his commands, and to walk in love. Well, let me just read a few of the verses here, and we'll just sort of go on. And I want to teach the passage of scripture. At the same time, I want to be real practical and try to give you my heart for you. Look what it says there in the first. It says, Elder unto the elect lady, talking about the church and her children, whom I love in the truth. He starts out saying, I love you all in the truth. And there's a significance here, because now what you have to do is to find out what John is really talking about, how he loves the church. Notice he says, I love the church in what? In truth. So now we got to find out what truth is. Well, let's go a little further and see what it says. For the truth say, he says, not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. So now he says the truth, but he says those that have known the truth. In other words, how did they know the truth? The Spirit of God working in their life and he teaching them the truth. Look at verse 2. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us, what does it say? Forever. Would you say that we better know what the truth is talking, what he's talking about here when it says the truth? He says, it's going to be with us now forever. Well, let's look further. He now goes and gives them that. It says, grace be with you, mercy and peace from, okay, all these truths that are characters of God himself, of course, but from who? God the Father from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is what? The Son of the Father. And then what's the next phrase? In truth and what? In love. Boy, we better find out what that truth is. And then he goes and says in verse 4, I rejoice greatly that I found thy children walking in this truth. And notice he really supports it. And he says, as we have received a commandment from the Father. What have they received? Truth. What would you say the center of this is? Truth. And notice he says to him, I rejoice greatly, and I found of thy children walking in the truth as you've received. I rejoice greatly. I'm seeing that they're consistently, continually walking in the truth. You see, to walk in the truth means to live in accordance with the truth of the message of the gospel as it was received from the beginning. We realize that those he had heard were walking in the truth just as the Father had commanded them. There is the commitment to the truth. This expression conveys the idea of a believer who confesses the truth of God's word, who lives in harmony with the Lord. You see, we rejoice in those walking in the Lord because love rejoices in the truth. Again, look at it says, the Son of God in truth and love. So we notice the center here. We're talking about God the Father and God the Son. It sounds like we're talking about the what there? The doctrine of truth. Really, it's the doctrine of Christ. So why do we say that is the doctrine of Christ? Well, as we realize, first of all, that the Father has commanded us to walk in the truth, we realize the meaning that 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love rejoices in the truth. Okay, we walk in truth and love, and we find out that love rejoices in the truth. That means then that he rejoices in the truth, so anything that is not truth, he what? He what? Anything that isn't true, he does not rejoice in. He would not agree with it. He'd be strong against it. Well, in other words, as you love rejoices in the truth, it sympathizes together with truth. It evokes response of high admiration. It's high principled. Love searches out the truth and rejoices when the truth is triumphing over wrong. Love and truth are inseparable partners residing in God himself. In other words, anything that is not of truth, you do not love. You know, we've got to realize that he has endowed them with love and truth, which is renewed in Jesus Christ through indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 19:8 says, the statutes of the Lord are right. Everything the Lord says are right, rejoicing the heart. When you open God's word, does that rejoice your heart? Does the truth rejoice your heart? The truth Paul is speaking here is not just factual truth. He's speaking of God's truth, God's revealed word, predicated on God's truth and cannot exist apart from it. Love always rejoices in God's truth, never with falsehood or false teaching. Love cannot tolerate wrong doctrine. If any of you are daydreaming right now, wake up for a second. Love does not tolerate wrong doctrine. It makes no sense to say, as one man put it, it doesn't make a great difference if people don't agree with us about doctrine. What matters is that we love them. No, what they believe affects their souls. What they believe affects their eternal destinies. What they believe affects their representation of God's will. So when he says walking in the truth, this indicates that truth is both what we believe and how we believe. It's a doctrine and duty of creed and conduct. Vance Havner said, "What we live is what we believe. Everything else is just religious talk." In other words, the proof's in the pudding. Our problem today is we live in a society that they don't know what the real meaning of love or truth is. And it's okay that they did this when they're against the doctrines of God as not truth. You do not love false teaching. There is a right and wrong doctrine. And there should be no, "Well, that's okay. That person means well." Since when does it mean well when you reject Jesus Christ? Since when does it mean well when you reject the truth and say, "No, this is the truth, and it's blasphemy to God"? Since when? It says that you rejoice in the truth. It sounds to me like John was full, not of himself, he was full of truth. So what is that truth? The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." John 17:17. You see, you receive the truth, which is the doctrine of Christ. Why do we say it's the doctrine of Christ? You know the answer to that. You just don't have the verse in your head right now, but it's going to be there right now. I am the way. Who's saying this? Jesus is saying to his disciples, "I am the what? Way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." What's that by me? I'm the truth. Thy word is truth. Everything God says. The doctrine of Christ is very important. Listen to what Scripture says. "He who says, 'I know him,' and does not keep the commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which is given us. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God." So they say that Jesus Christ is just a man. That's false. That's an antichrist. That is not a good thing. You do not go fellowship with that. You stand against that. Because love rejoices in the truth, not falsity. "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, and in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." 1 John 5:20. Now listen to what John goes and says in 2 John here in verse 9. "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, which is the gospel of truth," the gospel, the doctrine of Christ, "does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." Let me just read to you. I don't know how many years ago, but it'd be in the mid-80s or mid-80s, something like that, when I was ordained. Let me read to you what I believed then and I believe today about the doctrine of Christ. "Jesus Christ is the unique Son of God, a member of the Godhead, being co-equal and co-eternal with the Father and the Holy Spirit. I believe he was born of a virgin, becoming a man, yet holy God. The very God of very God and the very man of very man, he lived a life without sin. Thus, we have his impeccability. By virtue of his life, he voluntarily offered himself as a perfect sacrifice for sin through his death on the cross. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures and ascended to the right hand of the Majesty on high, making intercession for believers." That's the Christ I serve. The incarnation of Christ, born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit. His humanity of 100% God, 100% man. And as he walked, he laid aside the independent exercise of his divine attributes so that he could experience man. But he never, he was 100% God, 100% man. The work of Christ is seen in his life, his example, which he always fulfilled the Father's will. He kept the law perfectly. His death was a vicarious death, a substitution for us, a sacrificial death, a propitiating death, which he satisfied God's wrath because he was a perfect sacrifice. He knew no sin. And we have to realize all of us here need a Savior. And as a believer, you still need that Savior. In fact, that's the Spirit of God's in you. That is what causes you to realize, I'm a sinner. I continue to need God. The closer you get to God, the more you'll realize you're a sinner. The more you realize, I need him. Can't do it without him. He's my judge and my help. We need to humble ourselves before an almighty hand of God. He's a mighty God. He's the reconciliation of his death. Do you realize by that death he produced a change so that everybody in this room here tonight, this afternoon, this morning, I got it, finally. See, that only took me three. Pretty good, huh? I guess three and you're out. If I wouldn't have done that, we're out, huh? But as a reconciliation, he produced a change in the world. Jesus Christ came in voluntarily, perfect, with no sin, so that he could pay the sacrifice for your sin and produce a change in the world so you and I can be saved and he could take that place. Oh, what love. He's produced a change in you. In the world, and then in you when he saved you. Why would you not walk in truth? Why would you get so set up with your own self? Do you realize there is a judgment day coming? And the sad thing is, there's judgment while we're here on this earth, and there'll be judgment while we're in heaven. You reap what you sow, and you sow what you reap. You see, the extent of his death was sufficient for the sins of all men, yet efficient for only those who believe. Isn't that sad? It's right there for mankind. And when mankind does not receive that, it's right there for them. Repenting of their sin, realizing they have that the Savior of the world, the Creator of the world right there. And it's efficient for them. Sufficient for them, but if it's not efficient, boy, all of us, there's not anyone in here. Someone put you to a special room, and you went and you saw that someone put a bunch of money in there and said, it's yours. You'd be running to it. But you'd say, I'm not going to take it. It's sufficient for everybody, but it's not efficient. You don't take it. That's the doctrine of Christ. He rose again from the third day. His heavenly work, he's on the right hand of God. And so he sent the Holy Spirit. And he's preparing a place for believers as our mediator right now. He's an advocate of the believers and others, our lawyer. And you know he's never lost a case. He's our high priest. And bodily rose from the tomb and ascension. Now on the right hand of God. And remember when he ascended up into heaven. Remember what the angel said to them? Why stand ye gazing? What'd he say? The same Jesus. The same doctrine of Christ that he gives us in his word. The same truth. The way, the truth, and the life. The same. Everything about him. That he is coming back again. And folks, if you haven't received Christ, you're going to be out there. It's all sufficient, but never efficient because you rejected Jesus. You'd rather live your own life, your own teachings, instead of the truth. And this is what John was saying. I'm rejoiced greatly that I found in thy children walking in that truth. Are you walking in the truth of Jesus Christ, his doctrine, his life? The word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Thy word is truth, he says. And so the foundation is Jesus Christ. That's how that truth is a foundation. So when we think of that, when we're taught that, when we receive that truth, that wonderful truth, we humble ourselves and we'll thirst for it more. But what he says, I rejoice in that people are walking in the truth. That, again, let me reiterate, it's called creed and conduct. What you believe will show in your behavior. Here's what you need to learn, doctrines of Christ. You need to walk in the truth. And guess what will happen if you walk in the truth? Automatically, in the word walk, it says it, doesn't it? You'll live that way. Children, you obey your parents in the Lord. You obey your parents in the Lord. That's walking in the truth. You know the truth. The Bible says obey your parents in the Lord. Now, when you do it, that's your practice. So now you see what you're doing? You didn't know that you knew a bunch of doctrine of Christ, didn't you? And now you do it. Grown-ups, you've received the truth. Not being the greatest preacher in the world, but striving to give you truth for 20 years. And then in the Sunday school classes, the truth from your teachers. You need to practice it. That's my heart desire for you. That I would hear you practice, because look what he says in 3 John then. 3 John, the first four verses. And here we see John's heart's desire for himself concerning the church. The elder also, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of truth that is in thee. Talking about Gaius, even as you walk in the truth. And then he goes and brings in the whole church into it, and he says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So undoubtedly, he led a lot of people to the Lord, or he had parts in that church where they were part of that flock, considered his children. And undoubtedly, Gaius was one that he discipled. Because in this chapter, we see his heart desire. But let me just recap the whole chapter for you. Because in this chapter, we're only going to look at these four verses briefly. And we have to realize, though, the context. Really, what I see in this chapter of 3 John, I see three kinds of churchgoers that are found in the church here. We see Gaius, which is a heartfelt Christian, a hospital Christian, a humble Christian. We'll look at him in these first four verses a little bit, but it goes and talks about him through again. Then there's Demetrius, who was a happy Christian, a heroic Christian, an honorable Christian. You know something? Did you know that joy really goes a long way in spreading a countenance? It really does. Let me just again share with you. I know I've used this before, but that's okay. I'm leaving. You can all like it. You don't have to hear it again. But you know, when we came here, my mother was with us, who had polio, who was crippled her whole life. Well, excuse me. That's not true. She was crippled all my life because she had polio in the summer after she had my sister. And they found the vaccine in the fall. In the fall. Well, she was quite an example to us as far as hard work. I was always say to Mom, you know one reason, my Mom, why God gave you polio? Because you would have driven us all to the ground, and we wouldn't have been able to make it. Well, as when she had gotten that polio, she had one of the hardest. Polio hits you different parts, my understanding. Polio hits you different parts of your body, and then wherever it lands, you don't know. It might just go all the way in just one part of your body, or some will have it, would have worse cases than others, is what I'm trying to say. My mom had one of the worst cases, and it ended up, her left leg was dead since 1952. And so she was in a ward where polio was really breaking out and everything. And there was one lady down in another part of the ward that was really nasty. It was really giving everybody a fits and nasty, whatever it was. And they asked my dad, it would be all right, and mom, it could put my mom down in her room or down in their ward, wherever, however they did it there, if you could put her down there. Because she had the tough, and she had a worse case than that person by far, and she just brightened up the room. And so they put her down there. The next day, my dad came to visit. No, I wasn't in the world yet. Only God knew I was coming. Went and said to my dad, they knew he was a pastor. He says, Pastor Love, or we've put your wife down here in this room with this lady that's caused everybody grief. You can't believe the difference in that lady. You know why? Joy spreads. So you need to ask yourself, am I a happy Christian? Do people see something different in me? What's wrong with us? People come in here, they need to see people that are of a countenance, that have problems like anybody else, but a countenance say, it's in God's hands. Every day, a verse that I say is found in Psalm 31. I think it's verse 15 or 14, I'm not sure. But it says, I trust in you, you are my God. I say, my times are in your hands. Yeah, it's in your hands. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but my times are in your hands. And I'm in the boat with him. And he's holding my hands. If water's going to come in and he doesn't want water in that boat, he'll blow that water out. If he wants it in, he wants us to learn something. Maybe he wants us to learn us to swim. I don't know. Demetrius was a heroic Christian, an honorable Christian. Now there's Diotrephes, who was a member of the church. He was a hurtful Christian. He was a hard-hearted Christian, a haughty Christian. Those don't bode well for ministry. So let's look at Gaius, where we see here the letter he wrote to Gaius. And notice what he says in verse number 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, let me just try to explain something here to you. Look at that last phrase. He says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Notice what he's saying. Catch it out. He has a desire for his person, his physical person, and his spiritual person. But notice what he says here. It's very interesting that he says, I want you to be feeling really good. I really want you to be. And so as good as you're feeling, I want your spiritual life to be that way. But what he's simply saying is this. If you want to be really good and healthy, then be spiritual. Then love God. And as much as today you love God, that's how healthy you'll be. I wonder how we'd like that. If God worked things that way, okay, where are you in God today? How much time did you spend in God's word? How much time did you show your countenance that truth this week? How many times did you lose it? How much time did you have an opportunity to help someone you didn't? Okay, you didn't do that, then you're gonna get sick. And then you never do it, and as far as you never do it, you don't even talk about the Lord, you don't even think about him, but you think that you're a believer, and as high as your level of spirituality is, that's how high your health will be. How would you like that? Today, how healthy would you be? I'm afraid no one would be able to come to church because we're all sick. But really, that's what he's saying to them. He had such a concern for their health. You know something? I forgot to mention it earlier. I think, what's a praise and a glory, an answer of prayer? My understanding, Ed, they took a thing and it's no more blockage. It's gone, right? It's gone. Huh? That's what we should be saying. That. My desire, minute and guess what? We started praying. My heart was heavy. I know yours was too. We rejoice in the truth. He had a desire for their health. Guess what? My desire for you, if I'm going to be with John, I desire for you to be healthy. And if some of you are really, really healthy today, I hope your spiritual life is that way. But my desire is no matter what you, physically, personally, that you so love Jesus. And that you will love the man that comes next as you have loved us. That's my desire for you. That's walking in the truth. Because it isn't about a man. But God uses men and ladies. And he uses them mightily to carry on his great commission. And what he wants every individual believer here today to be discipling other people with a countenance that they might walk in truth. Do you think this could be written if John wouldn't have discipled Gaius? And then he found out that he's really living for the Lord. One of my joys as a preacher, it just is. When you hear that something you preach, not you, but something that you preach and something that someone remembered and that their life was different for it. Because they let God do something. And then you just, what's your first cry out isn't, oh God, boy, were they lucky to get me. No, your first cry is what? God, thank you. Who am I that you could use me? Who am I? It all comes from you anyways. Who am I that I get an opportunity to give financially to a ministry? Like, who am I? It's all yours anyways. Who am I that I can serve in an area and not let the circumstances direct how faithful I am? It's required in a steward that be found faithful. Faithful is he who calleth you, who also will do it. He's going to be faithful. He's going to do it. Notice what he says. I wish. The apostle wish was that Gaius' physical health would be as good as that of his spiritual health. Isn't it opposite? Gaius was so loving God, and he heard of the truth and of his life for Christ that he was wishing that his physical would be as good as his spiritual. Not as spiritual, as good as his physical. Because he already knew that because he had heard that. Look what it says. I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in who? Of the truth that's in you. Oh, you know, I'm going to get a call from, or a text Brenda might get, or might get something, and we're going to hear someone got saved, or someone got victory over something here or there, and they're really walking the truth and serving, and we are going to be jumping up and down. Because that's our heart's desire for you. That you walk in truth. And we live in a temptation society. It's so easy to jump things on ourselves. I know what God's word says, but I'm going to do it my way. You know, God had a relationship with Gaius, and John knew of that relationship. Dare we hope that our prayer for ourselves or others is in this same manner? The spiritual is indeed the standard of the measurement for the physical. Through our outward man perish, Yet the inward man is renewed day by day, 2 Corinthians 4:16. Physical health is a result of nutrition, and spiritual health must be the same. You know, you have your marked out path. They sang about endurance, the marked out path, which was our last year's theme. Marked out path before you. Uh-huh. Ups and downs. Tell me, everyone had an up year in 25. Everyone was always up. And we realized they were down. But you know what's great about it? Remember when you were down, how it didn't last, it came up? Did you know something? It's going to come up again if you're down. But guess what you're going to have to do? Just as you do health-wise, you've got to do spiritual-wise. You know what's going to help you? Being with believers that encourage you, not join in and give you strength. You know, misery loves company. You know, you don't need to go to that. You're having a problem. You know, the most likely, someone that's going through that same problem that's not a spiritual person, you don't want to be going there. It's not going to help you a bit. But you go someone that might have been there before and you've gotten a victory over it and realize then, because Gaius was one that had a relationship with God. And he grew in grace. And he was walked in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. He had delighted and had a relationship with Christ. He remained faithful to the truth. He was committed to the truth. John commended him because he not only knew the truth, but he lived the truth. He grabbed to let his light so shine before God. See, what we live is what we believe. Truth is both what we believe and how we live it. He was faithful in what he believed, and he was faithful in how he lived. I want you to grasp. I don't want you to be just thinking, okay, what do I do next? We're here, this pastor loves lemon, what Brenda's last Sunday here, and this. That is not my desire. My desire is that you hear me today. You hear what I'm trying to tell you. It is about God and his truth. And we always want to, we rationalize truth instead of find out the truth. We're not serious about God. And it shows by our behavior, what we do. He joyed a deep down sense of the well-being in his life. In other words, to John, truth mattered. To Gaius, truth mattered. And because truth mattered, Gaius walked in, and Gaius, the round people that were around Gaius and in that church, truth mattered, and they heard about that truth and what was going on in that ministry, and he says, I rejoice greatly when my children are walking in the truth. And it doesn't stop. Notice here, John wasn't there. But the Spirit of God was. And another man was there. You have a privilege. God has a man for you. A man that is going to be different than me. And I would say, praise the Lord. Because I know me. It's going to be a man that God's going to put and direct the ministry here the way God wants to direct it, with the abilities and gifts that that man has, not degrading what anybody else has, whether I had it or man before me had it, man before him had it. And God has given you the privilege of looking forward to a ministry and not looking behind. Remember, the pilot never looks at the runway behind, worries about the runway behind him. He always looked at the runway before him. I don't know Scott Rosen. I've talked to him twice on the phone, I think it is, and I was spent 2 hours, 3 hours with him before we left when he came to preach there for those days. I don't know. I don't know him, but I could tell one thing. He's his old man that loves God, and he's not me, and I'm not him. And God has given him things and abilities and probably brilliance that I couldn't even come close to. But I don't know if he's the man for here. But right now, God is leading you as a church body to bring him in and find that out. That rightly divides the word of truth, and that's what you need to base your decisions on. A man of truth, not self-centered. One that's going to humbly lead you where God wants to keep you. And as I hear you folks being faithful, giving him a break as you would want a break for yourself. Remember, what goes around comes around. You reap what you sow, but whoever that man might be, that you just walk in the truth and make sure he's walking in the truth. And I'll go right out and say, if he's not walking the truth, you better not vote him in. But I say that about any man. And there's been a lot of hours I know been talking with him from the pulpit committee. And you'll see the truth that he is and this that he has. Because I don't believe the pulpit committee would ever bring anybody in here that doesn't have that truth. So now what we have to do is this. As far as my desire, yes, I'm coming from the hoof. I wanted to exposit the passage. We tried to do it briefly, but this is my last chance. Unless years down the road you have me come back and speak again. Brenda and I love you dearly. The Lord has shown his love to me, as I mentioned earlier, through you. And I've never been so felt appreciated by anybody but you guys. We thank you from the bottom of our heart. Please know, this is not easy for us. Because of that love, I've had some preacher friends of mine text me this morning, praying for me. It's hard to say goodbyes. The pastor, even, it didn't today, but a week ago or 2 weeks ago, of the pastor where we're going to the church that we're going to be going to, said, I know driving down the road is not going to be easy. But he just tried to encourage me and say, I just want to let you know, our people will love you too. And we just want you to walk in truth. We want you to take the scriptures and be involved with the scriptures. Be involved with one another in their life. Being able to text them in and say, hey, yeah, we're praying for this. Oh, yeah, this, we're praying for this. And then let someone lead you and love you too. You know, you folks have many decisions to make in your own personal lives. So make them centered in the truth. And I have to say, I have no greater joy than to hear the flock that God's given me for these 20 years, that they walk in truth. Because there's some that haven't. My heart's grieved. And there's many that have. Won't you be a Gaius? So that people will come and let us know that you're walking in the truth. Please don't be a stranger. What I mean by that is, I need prayer more than ever. And Brenda for sure needs prayer more than ever. Because of me being there without a ministry. I was reminded, my preacher friend sent me an email today and said, I know in the 50 years that this is the first time that you're going to a place where you're, quote, quote, not in full-time Christian service. And for 50 years, the Lord has put me in positions, even when I was real young, put me in positions where I was a leader over something. I was in charge. And we're not going to that. And God wants to teach me much. I need your prayers. So don't be a stranger in the prayer closet, please. This is one thing that's really easy for you. 1 Corinthians 13, what do we call that chapter? The love chapter? Remember us whenever you go there. Psalm 37, 37, Mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of man is peace. Pray for Mark. I'm joking. I know it's a bad one, but it doesn't mean Mark the perfect man, okay? But I do always say, the Bible says in Corinthians also, let all your things be done with love. And you know that's our heart's desire for you, that all your things be done with love. I have failed in not praying enough for you folks and right. Please know that as we ask you, because I'll not remember it all at once, but I've got the up-to-date book, address book, or whatever you call it, and we're going to be praying for you. And we'll be praying for big decisions that you have to make. Ministries. I think you're pretty close. You need an assistant here too. That's things of prayer, and I know. Whether you want me to say that or not, the leadership, that's tough. I'm saying I'm out of here. You do. You're getting to a point. I mean, in the last, 4 years, probably? 4 years. Last 4 years. We've grown 40 kids. What a wonderful problem to have, huh? Teachers. There's some of you that need to step up. That's what we'll be so rejoicing in, to seeing all the stepping up in. Just as it already has some. And so as we leave our 20 years here, I want you to know, we give you a hard time. I'm a Midwesterner. Coming to New England, you know, the Big East, being an athlete. We have loved our 20 years here. But honestly, I mentioned this to Dan yesterday as they were leaving from helping. It really isn't Colchester, the area that we're having a hard time keeping it together on. It's the called out assembly. It's you. It's people. People that have been kind to us, that we've grown to love, that all we want is that you walk in the truth. You just walk like Jesus. So would you seek, go through the Gospels and seek how Jesus walked and walk like him. And I will tell you that Brenda and I will strive to walk like him. It's going to be tough being next door to our grandkids. We'll try to put up with that, okay, with four of them. But even, it's just like Adam's going on vacation in 3 weeks at spring break. Guess where he's going on vacation? To go down and see his sister, and guess who's going to be living next door to them? We said, you can come by and see us if you want. You know, we get to see little Judah. And so we thank you. I can't thank you enough for the gifts, your love. Yesterday I was just blown away again, just by folks that came, and I realized when I was younger, I did what all they did, those guys did in the trucks. We did two of them like that when we came here. Two 26-foot trucks we came in, and we're leaving in one with 2 feet to spare so Brenda can stay there. I'm just appalled by that. It just is, you don't know what that does to me. I mean, and the thing that you don't know is the beginning of the week, for some reason, the Lord gave me a, you know, many of you know I've had bad back. And beginning of the week, my back was, I mean, I never feel like I'm 70, but this week, whenever I got out of the chair, I think I looked 80. You know, I just, it was tough. And this week, and I believe it's the stress and the different things, even though I don't think I'm a stressed out person, I've been having all those things a lot. Today I've had two or three of them. And he didn't allow me to have one this morning while I was preaching. Last Wednesday, half of my message I was having one while I was speaking. And it just, I praise the Lord for all that. And I could ramble and ramble on and on. And I don't want to bore you. But let me just say, again, if you get anything out of this, walk in truth. We are going to rejoice with you. Will you please just walk in truth? Be faithful in that. Open God's word. Let that be the center of your. Be Bible and dad, Bible moms and dad moms. And we'll be rejoicing with you. Let's pray.